And welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Thursday, November 12th, 2020. There has been some new records and some new information that has been set. Dr. Nyman might take over. Dr. Nyman.
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, today was record setting. Actually, every day this week was a record setting, but today it got up to 154,557. And that's through 6 o'clock local time in California. It might go a little bit higher from California. But the numbers really were right in line with what the predictions were. I had said earlier this week that I thought that the numbers would get up, that every day would be higher, and that there'd be setting new records each day, and it would get up to somewhere between 150 and 175,000 by Friday, and it is right on track to do that. I'd also said that the estimates on how many cases there would be was conservative. First, it was that it would get up to 100,000 cases a day, and then it was increased to 200,000 cases a day. And I had said that it'll probably get up to 200,000 cases a day next week. And that with the holidays coming up and with the colder weather and with just the natural progression, that once it starts getting to these levels and this high number of locations, it would start increasing exponentially, and that would take it well beyond 200,000 a day. And now some are suggesting that the number might go up to 400,000 a day, and that I agree with, that it's going to be above 200,000. It might get as high as 400,000, and it will be a crisis situation, that the hospitals will not be able to offer services to everybody that needs them. Those types of situations are already occurring mostly in the Midwest, more in less densely populated areas that don't have as much surge capacity. And in North Dakota, the governor was suggesting that healthcare workers that were asymptomatic but COVID positive continue working with COVID positive patients. It's a very dangerous situation, not so much to the COVID patients, but to other healthcare workers. That's the type of situation that allows Ebola to spread in Africa, where what ends up happening is that the healthcare workers take precautions to avoid infection by the patients, but they end up getting infected by coworkers because the coworkers are positive and they're not expecting that. And there's more interactions with co-workers where they're not fully protected. And that would be what would happen, or what will happen. I don't know. They have a shortage. And that's what happens when the pandemic spreads and is showing up in virtually everywhere, which is what the situation is in the United States right now. Just to give an idea, the numbers for Monday got up to 124,000, and I had said on Tuesday that a number that high, at the time that was the second highest. It had been slightly higher, 127,000 the preceding Friday. Monday's really reporting Sunday results by and large. And so to have a number that was almost an all-time high on a Monday indicated that every day during the week would produce new records, and that is exactly what happened. On Monday, on Tuesday, the number went up to 137,186. Yesterday, it went up to 139,457. And today, it's up to 154,557. Like I say, it might go a little bit higher from California. But in any event, it will be higher tomorrow, and it will be in the 150-something to 175 range tomorrow. And that will set the stage for it hitting 200,000 by a week from Friday. It typically goes down over the weekend, including Monday, and then Tuesday through Friday, the numbers gradually increase and peak on Friday before it drops on Saturday because it's the weekend again. The number of deaths is going up. It's a little bit lower today. It's 1,100 deaths today. Yesterday was 1,468. The day before was 1,384. So the deaths are increasing. They'll start increasing even more dramatically in a few weeks. These increases in deaths are reflective of some of the trouble spots, like the El Paso region and Texas is contributing a lot of deaths now. They're bringing in storage trailers because the morgue is full. And that type of situation will spread to these other areas that are seeing the dramatic increases. So the deaths are a trailing indicator. And just to give an idea on how the record was set today of 150,000, here's a quick rundown of the states that had at least 3,000 cases today. New York had 4,797. New Jersey had 3,491. Pennsylvania had 5,488. California had 10,035. Michigan had 7,311. Illinois had 12,702. Florida had 5,607. Texas had 8,454. Ohio had 7,101. Washington had 3,345. Indiana had 6,591. Colorado had 5,197. Tennessee had 3,344. Missouri had 4,327. Utah had 3,929. Iowa had 4,317. Minnesota had 7,225. So a lot of those numbers were all-time highs, particularly anything that was 5,000 or above. In general, all of those other than Texas and California, those would have been records for all of the 5,000 to 7,000 range. And that's just an indication on where these numbers are going and why going from 150 to 175 is fairly trivial. It will definitely do that in a week. I should say going from 175 to 200. It will get to 200 next week, by the end of the week for sure. And it's really the... It's unlikely it is going to stop at 200,000 a day. And with that type of rate, some of these other numbers that are being thrown out are obsolete before they're ever set. I don't even know why they're saying them. I heard on MSNBC a projection that by election nomination day, by January 20th, another 60,000 Americans will die, and that would be good news if only 60,000 die in the next 69 days. That's less than 1,000 a day, and that would mean the numbers would go down between now and January 20th, and there's no reason this numbers will go down. It's an absurd number that is clearly out of date, because the dead people that die between that, the people that die between now and January 20th are generally people that are already in the hospital. There are at least people that have already been infected. And those numbers are going through the roof. The numbers I just cited are confirmed cases. And the jump in those confirmed cases is just giving you a preview that there are more similar numbers of people that are already infected and haven't been confirmed yet. So between the people that are already confirmed and those that have been confirmed in the last couple of weeks, showing these dramatic increases resulting in 150,000 a day instead of half that number a week or two ago. I mean, the number just broke 100,000 a little over a week ago. So the numbers are going up very dramatically, and that means that the deaths will go up very dramatically, and those deaths will go up very dramatically between now and January 20th. So there won't be 60,000 that die in that time period. It'll probably be double that. And I did hear another estimate today that indeed 120,000 will die between now and January 20th. So the numbers are going to be very dramatic. The vaccine is not really going to be available in quantity before that time. By the time the vaccine's available in quantity, the peak activity will likely have passed. In quantity is by not till late spring, early summer, and then the flu season or the this will parallel this flu season, because that's when conditions are ripe for transmission. The air is colder, the air is drier, and people spend more time inside, especially in the northern regions of the U.S. And so it is a very bleak outlook. It will be compounded by the president dragging his feet on the transition. He's a lame duck. He basically, I don't even want to go into the details. The bottom line is he's dragging his feet. There has to be coordination for getting the vaccine distributed. The vaccine that's most likely to be approved first is the Pfizer vaccine, and although the government did not participate in the development of the vaccine, the Pfizer did it on its own. The government is going to be helping with the distribution, and that would apply to other vaccines, and Moderna is essentially the same vaccine that Pfizer has. It also requires cold storage at minus 80 degrees centigrade or minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. That creates an additional problem as far as the distribution. There are freezers commercially available that do take the temperature down that low, but it's not clear that they're available in quantity. And so the refrigeration component is supposed to be supplemented by dry ice. And you know, I would imagine that you can make a lot of dry ice fairly quickly and even get it distributed. but it's still going to be an additional logistic issue. And then the fact that the vaccine requires two injections 21 days apart creates an additional problem that you basically need twice as much vaccine because each person needs two, and they need reminders to come back and get the second dose, and especially difficult time to be doing the vaccination during the pandemic. The vaccination is more ideally timed for distribution before the pandemic, so you have a chance to develop the antibodies before you get infected. Now, it's a situation that many people will get infected while being immunized, which is less than ideal, especially a vaccine that requires two injections. And an example of the pandemic kind of expanding at a very rapid clip, at a clip that's almost too fast for the media to report. Today, there were five more people that were announced as being COVID positive who had attended the White House election celebration on November 3rd. That included Trump's advisor, Corey Lewandowski, his chief of staff at the RNC, Richard Walters, GOP strategist and lobbyist, Jeff Miller, and two donors from Wisconsin, Liz and Dick. And Dick Uline. And those five are in addition to eight named attendees who have also been reported as being positive. And those included Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, the head of HUD Ben Carson, a couple other high executives, David Bossy and Brian Jack, and then current or former staff members, Eli Baumgartner, Cassidy Hutchinson, Carlton Boyd, and Nick Traynor. So there are now 13 named people that had attended that White House celebration. Pictures show that the vast majority of the people that attended did not wear masks. It was, I guess, in the East Room, so it was indoors. It was, you know, a poster child for what not to do in case of a pandemic. It would be in violation of Washington, D.C. Regulations during the pandemic as far as the size of gatherings. They really should just declare the White House a biohazard and kick all the occupants out, let them go down to Mar-a-Lago while they decontaminate the place so that Biden can move in, and it'll probably take till January to get it decontaminated. It's so overloaded with virus. But it's a pathetic situation, and it's just compounded by obstacles as far as the transition is concerned. None of the staff members can refer to President-elect Biden. They're threatened with termination if they try to line up another job, since they'll be out of work by January 20th. And it's just more of the same. It's just bad. I mean, Trump has already sealed his position as being the worst U.S. president ever. And with more unnecessary deaths on his hands for how he has handled, is handling, and will handle this pandemic, He has no plan. He just sits in the White House and sends out tweets on who he's going to fire. He hasn't been at a COVID task force meeting in several months. They haven't even had meetings. They had one this week. It's not clear what was accomplished. It sounds like there are going to be shortages of PPEs because of the scale of the pandemic, which was going to just disappear, according to Trump, and it turned the corner, according to Trump. And he just lies and lies and lies. And the number of deaths get higher and higher and higher, as do the number of infected cases. So I'll give more details on the vaccine situation, the problems with the virus in minks and all of the culling of minks in Europe. I think it's mostly in the Netherlands, mutations that are showing up in those sequences in the spike protein, the ability of those mutants to evade the immune response to the original strain of the virus, and some serious issues that are going to compound the situation and should be addressed now, not in January. And unfortunately, there is no reason to expect it to be addressed. There's still Scott, the bodybuilder, is still in charge with his views as a retired radiologist with no experience and background in epidemiology or virology, that he thinks that herd immunity is a good idea and we should just let things follow their natural course. I said that doing that will result in the deaths of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that wouldn't have to die, that it would overwhelm the healthcare provision, which would lead to additional unnecessary deaths because the death rate goes up when the facilities are overloaded. And that is precisely what is happening now in the Midwest and in Texas, and that's precisely what's going to happen throughout the entire country in the upcoming months. So it's a fairly bleak picture. Like I said, I'll be doing more regular updates, but the prediction is that the number will get close to 175,000 tomorrow, and it'll definitely top 200,000 next week, and next week will not be the peak. The number of cases will continue to rise. The U.S. will lead the world in deaths and cases and increase in cases. And the world will kind of look at the U.S. as a biohazard, the entire country. And unfortunately, the world will be absolutely correct. That's it for now.
All right. Thanks for the information and the report. And listeners, please always go to thecommonomics.co. We will continue to do these as the situation evolves and probably do these more regularly. Thanks for listening and have a nice day.